Maureen Elliott reveals an interesting aspect of driving infringement administration.
When infringements are issued, they come back through the State Debt Recovery Office. And I work on a committee wading through all these excuses that people send in to why they shouldn't have this penalty. Some of them are genuine. Others of them are so far out there that you thought, how long did it take you to think this up? And did you not think that we could simply check that question? Or my dad didn't know I had the car and he usually gets home at X. And so I had the car and I realised I was not going to get home in time. It was almost a Ferris Bueller type of situation. So I had to speed because it wasn't worth the argument in the house and everybody would have got upset. Well, you've just told us you sped. That's the bottom line. You sped. The fact that you took the car, that's not our problem. You sped. Did you really think we were going to take pity on you because your father was going to yell at you? I'm sure that would be quite an interesting book. You could de-identify it, but people could relate to it very well.
It could be called a book of excuses.
Book of excuses. Good. We can do everything that we feasibly can do. We can educate, we can communicate, we can legislate, we can enforce, we can do engineering treatments, we can make our cars as safe as possible, but we can't stop people making stupid decisions. We can't legislate for stupidity, and that's the frustrating thing because it's so often that level of stupidity that doesn't just affect one person. It can be the innocent bystander. It can be the family travelling in the opposite direction. It can be the innocent on the side of the road. Ignorance is one thing. Stupidity and deliberate actions, I find that very disappointing.
Another group of interest and concern to road safety practitioners are vulnerable road users.
Every one of us at one stage or another will probably be a vulnerable road user. But traditionally, we classify those as the very old or the older road user, the very young, cyclists because they're quite exposed, motorcyclists because there's not much between them and the ground, and disadvantaged groups would be another, such as our Aboriginal community. So vulnerable I would describe as those groups who, by virtue of their age, their mobility, their socioeconomic status, or the device on which they are accessing the road, places them at greater risk and not generally through their own fault. And so the programs that we look at do two things. One is to work with those vulnerable groups to get them thinking about ways to maximise their safety. But we also then go to the other side and we say, well, those of you who are motorists, you need to be aware that a bicycle, for example, there's a person there with a helmet on with not much else protection. They can't move. They don't have the power that you have. Motorcyclists, for example. Frail people need longer to get across the road in some instances. They're very young, being impulsive and can dash out. So we work at two levels for our vulnerable groups. We look at strategies to improve those groups, but we also look at strategies to make the more powerful of the road user, which is generally the vehicle owner, to be more alert and aware